From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Monday, January 13th. Coming up, we'll learn why it can be difficult to diagnose mental health conditions. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. The Illinois Department of Public Health is encouraging residents to take precautions and get vaccinated as rates of respiratory illnesses are increasing statewide. Public health officials reported that more than 21% of emergency department visits last month were due to illnesses like flu, RSV, and COVID-19. Dr. Tara Nolting is a convenient care provider at Carle Hospital. She says the increase is expected during the winter months, but it's still important to limit the spread of seasonal viruses.
If you are feeling sick, if you have a fever, if you've been vomiting, if you have diarrhea, clearly infectious symptoms, you need to stay home.
Other measures include practicing good hand hygiene and wiping down shared objects and surfaces. Several hospital systems, including Carle, OSF Healthcare, and Memorial Health, are limiting visitors and urging those with any symptoms to wear a mask. In school closure news, the Clinton Unit School District 15 is having an e-learning day today. That's because there's a boil order across the city of Clinton. The superintendent's office says the district will return to in-person classes tomorrow. Lawyers have put the soybean on track to become Illinois' official state bean. IPM's Jim Meadows reports.
Legislation honoring the soybean passed out of the Illinois House last week after getting state Senate approval last year. Illinois is the top producer of soybeans in the U.S., with about a quarter of its land used for growing the crop. It's used in foods like tofu and cooking oil, as well as for animal feed and industrial products like biodiesel fuel. The Illinois Soybean Association says having the official state bean would help people understand how important soybeans are to Illinois' economy. The bill now goes to Governor J.B. Pritzker, who signed legislation last year honoring the giant puffball as Illinois' official state mushroom. I'm Jim Meadows, IPM News.
People in Illinois with certain reproductive health conditions can now ask for treatment with medical marijuana. Mawa Iqbal reports.
The Illinois Department of Public Health has approved using medical cannabis to treat uterine fibroids, endometriosis, ovarian cysts, and female orgasmic disorder. Non-cancerous conditions that affect the reproductive system often come with physical pain, which the state agency says can be treated with medicinal weed. In a statement, Director Samir Vora says the agency will work with medical providers to, quote, ensure appropriate access for people with these conditions. This is the first time IDPH updated their list of conditions eligible for medicinal weed treatment since 2019. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
Still to come, we'll learn why it can be difficult to diagnose mental health conditions. That story is coming up next on 217 Today, but first, your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Your forecast for today, mostly sunny and cold with a high of 18 degrees, a west wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low of 10 degrees, a west wind 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, cloudy with a chance of light snow and a high of 19 degrees, northwest wind 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, clear skies with a low around zero, a northwest wind 5 miles per hour. And for Wednesday, sunny with a high of 18 degrees and a southwest wind 5 miles per hour.
Next time on the 21st Show, have you been hearing about this norovirus people keep getting? I'll spare you the gory details. Let's just say it's one of the more unpleasant ways to clock a sick day. We'll talk with health experts on how to avoid norovirus, as well as some of the other illnesses going around this winter. I'm Brian Mackey. That's next time on the 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's estimated that nearly one-fifth of adults in the U.S. have a mental health condition. But each year, over a third of adults with severe psychiatric disorders are misdiagnosed. Lizzie McGreevy, Side Effects Public Media's community engagement specialist, spoke with health reporter Elizabeth Gabriel to answer one question. Why is it so difficult to diagnose mental health conditions?
All right, learning and behavior disorders are supposed to be caught at, like, elementary school, right? So then why are people not getting diagnosed until they're full-grown adults?
So it's normal for young people to be scared of things or get sad and anxious sometimes. These things may not need treatment and will pass. But parents and teachers are not trained to recognize when these may point toward a mental illness. Listen to what Leslie Holvershorn told me. She is the chair of Indiana University Psychiatry Department.
How in the world would we expect parents to know how to diagnose things or teachers to know how to diagnose things like this? They're not trained to do that. So you have to come in contact with a trained mental health clinician. And I mean, most people just never come into contact with someone to get a psychiatric assessment.
So a parent would have to seek out psychiatric help if they have these concerns. Even if they want to do that, finances can be a barrier. Plus, there's still a shortage of psychiatrists, which means it might be a while before someone is actually seen. That's why 1 in 7 kids who have at least one mental health condition don't receive treatment.
So then there's this idea of how we define specific mental health issues versus those normal behavioral problems. For example, I hear all the time that if someone is hyperactive, then they definitely must have ADHD, especially when we're talking about boys.
Fun fact, that's actually just a stereotype. For example, if a boy is more hyperactive and runs around a classroom, they may or may not have attention deficit hyperactivity disorder or ADHD. And symptoms for things like ADHD can present differently in different people. So just because someone doesn't have more noticeable symptoms of hyperactivity doesn't mean they're not there. That just means they're able to mask or hide them better.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. But, you know, I've also heard some people being diagnosed with one thing, and then years and years later, they're diagnosed with something else. It sounds like maybe there's a lack of innovative technology in play here. Is that correct?
You're right on the money, Lizzie. Scientific advancements in mental health aren't far enough to where we can diagnose mental health conditions using technology like MRI scans. Medical providers know that certain amino acids in fat cells create gene codes in the brain when someone has a mental health condition. But there isn't technology that can say, hey, if you have X percent different from someone with a baseline of certain gene codes, then you definitely have depression. On top of that, a lot of mental health conditions have overlapping symptoms. So if you compare ADHD and obsessive compulsive disorder, or OCD, they can both show signs of difficulties concentrating and sleep disturbances, but they can have different treatments. It can be easier to diagnose someone if they have one or more severe mental illnesses that come with symptoms like hallucinations or delusions.
So what needs to happen so that it's easier to diagnose these mental health conditions?
Like many problems in the world, this also circles back to money and resources. Holvershorn at Indiana University also said it takes a lot of patience, hundreds of thousands, if not millions, for researchers to be able to study mental illness. Without that, it's harder to develop future technologies to diagnose mental illness by, say, looking at a scan or a diagnostic test result. And every disorder is different. For example, bipolar depression is different from major depression. Only around 1 to 2% of the population has some of these mental illnesses like schizophrenia and bipolar disorder. So even though it's a lot of people, it just makes it more complex to carry out these studies.
Elizabeth, thank you so much for this great information.
That was Community Engagement Specialist Lizzie McGreevy speaking with health reporter Elizabeth Gabriel. Side Effects Public Media is a health reporting collaboration of NPR member stations across the Midwest. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Analika Ochuba, Arjun Tucker, Jim Meadows, Mawa Iqbal, and Elizabeth Gabriel. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.